So tonight's reading is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, which is on page 890 if you have one of the Bibles from the back. So it's Acts 8, 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
How's that? Yay, we're back on. All right. Well, if we haven't met and you've seen me fiddling with my mic, my name's James, one of the pastors here, and delighted to be opening up God's Word with you. Please do have your Bibles open so you can follow along. And as we begin, I want to put a big, bold, beautiful claim out there. God has made each of us for a wonderful purpose. And that purpose is that we should worship and enjoy God forever. God has made us for these moments of awe and wonder and amazement and delight. And Acts chapter 8 is one of those moments. There is so much awe and delight here. We're up against it today. It's hard for us today because our culture keeps on telling us, keeps on feeding this narrative that I wasn't made for God, I was made for myself. I don't belong to God, I belong to myself. And so what I should do is that I can shape my story, my life, my identity, my body, however I like. And so the great adventure, the great journey of life is to discover and express myself however I want. But the cost of that is that we're not good at enjoying God and His glory. The very thing that we're made for, the thing that will give us the greatest joy in life, we're not good at. It kind of just slips off us like our hearts are made of non-stick Teflon. And think about it. We've all had that moment on a Sunday when we've been inspired and encouraged. Maybe it's that line in a song that just gets you. Or the way someone leads us in prayer. Or something in a sermon. or a comment someone makes in questions and comments. And it just gets you. There's a moment of encouragement and inspiration and you're moved. And then comes Monday. Or for some of us, we don't even get to Monday. It's just as we're leaving the driveway and the world, the mess of the world and life just kind of floods back in. And that's what sticks to us. That's what follows us around all week. Not God's glory and those moments of awe and delight, but the mess and struggle of life. So we need to pray tonight. Because this moment we're about to have of awe and delight in Acts chapter 8, we don't want that to just slip off us. We want us to stick with us and transform us and shape us. So let's pray and ask God to do that. Father God, we thank you that you have made us for yourself, and our greatest joy, our most intense delight is in worshiping you and enjoying you. And so I want to ask that this moment of awe and delight that we're about to have in Acts chapter 8, that that wouldn't just kind of slide off us tonight, but would stick with us and transform us. We ask this, that our joy in Jesus would grow and grow. We pray this in his beautiful name. Amen. Well, three delights tonight. The first one is sharing Jesus wherever we go. Come back in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is kind of the key verse, I guess, for the whole book. So if you want to know what Acts is about, this is kind of the key verse. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Love hearing those pages flicking because that means we're in God's word together as a family. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. You can't fail in his mission. And we've seen that in the chapters of Acts, haven't we? As we've gone through this series. Jesus became the king of thousands upon thousands of homes and hearts. There were moment after moment of awe and delight in these chapters. And then came the persecution, the bullying, the threats, the lynching of Stephen, and then the church is scattered. But Acts chapter 8, verse 4, we saw last week, those who had been scattered by the persecution preached the word wherever they went. That's another moment of awe and delight. An innocent man is murdered, the church is scattered, but they preach wherever they go. Jesus' mission cannot fail. And so as we've just read, God puts Philip in the life of this Ethiopian eunuch. That's our second delight tonight, when Jesus lights up our lives. We saw in verse 27 that this Ethiopian eunuch is an important official in charge of all the treasury of the royal family, the royal household of the Ethiopians. That means he's an extraordinary man for a commoner to have risen so high to be the royal treasurer. He's powerful. He's educated, he can read, which wasn't that common in the ancient world, and he's wealthy because he can afford his own copy of the scroll of Isaiah. This eunuch is an extraordinary man, but he was a eunuch. The only way for a commoner to be trusted around the royal household was for him to be castrated, to not to be able to have children, no descendants, no name beyond his lifetime. And this extraordinary Ethiopian eunuch has been on a journey from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. But when he got there, he wouldn't have been allowed in because he was ceremonially, religiously unclean. So just imagine with me for a moment him sitting in his chariot as he goes back to Ethiopia. His life, a tragic, painful, disappointing contradiction. Such power and learning and wealth. And yet he's an outsider everywhere he goes. He's the royal treasurer, but he doesn't belong in the royal family. That's why they made him a eunuch. He can afford to travel from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, but when he gets there, he's not welcome. He doesn't really belong anywhere. And perhaps you identify with him a little bit tonight. In many ways, there's a lot going for you in life. You're good-looking, intelligent, pretty popular. It's really interesting to look around now and see who's smiling and nodding. Yes, I am. Yes, that's right, James. I am very good looking and intelligent. In many ways, there's a lot going for you. But you still feel like a bit of an outsider. Like you've never really belonged. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch. But you're about to have, he's about to have this moment of awe and delight because Jesus is about to light up his life with good news. Because as we read, he's reading from the prophet Isaiah and he reads this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. I wonder why he's reading that particular passage. Maybe he'd heard about lambs being sacrificed in the temple and he's reading here and he goes, but this is not a lamb, this is a person. What's that about? Or maybe this person who is treated unjustly and he's cut off from descendants, he has no descendants to speak of, maybe that resonated with his own struggle and pain in life. And maybe it's God's providence that he's in this passage right as Philip comes up to him. I think it's all of those. And so verse 34, the eunuch asks Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. I love that. Often we think if we're going to share the good news of Jesus with someone, we've got to know the answer to every question. We've got to be able to respond to every objection. We've got to read lots, study lots. But Philip just tells him how Jesus is good news. And we can all do that. It's something like 99% of churchgoers in Sydney have more Bible knowledge than the average pastor in Africa. Just think about that. We can absolutely share the good news of Jesus. You can just start with your story. Who's Jesus for you? What has Jesus done for you? And so maybe what Philip did is he pointed him to the verses just before what he'd read, and they read this together. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Maybe Philip said to him that our iniquity, our transgression, our sin means that we put ourselves in the place of God. But the good news is that Jesus came and he took our place to rescue us. And so he was cut off so that we can belong. He died so that we can live. He was punished so that we can be forgiven. He was unclean so that we can be clean. And then maybe Philip said, hey, while we're in Isaiah, let's keep reading a bit. There's this bit of Isaiah 56 I want to show you. And maybe they read this. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, surely the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I'm only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what please me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. A eunuch would say, I am only a dry tree. I have no fruit, no sons and daughters, no descendants, no name beyond my lifetime. And God says, I've got something better for you than sons and daughters. It's this. I'll give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. See, that's the nature of a eunuch. No name beyond their generation. But God says, I will give you a name that lasts forever. It's a moment of awe and delight, isn't it? Good news of Jesus lights up this eunuch's life and transforms him. And so verse 36, as we read, straight away he wants to celebrate. He wants to mark this moment by being baptized. If Jesus is good news, then I'm in with Jesus. I'm all in with Jesus. I remember about 12 years ago, another church we were in, a family came and started coming to church. Neil and Megan were the parents' names, and they're bringing their daughter to be baptized. And they've been baptized as children themselves, and now they want to have their daughter baptized. And they became very clear as we kind of chatted to them. They didn't really understand what baptism was about and who Jesus was. And so he said, well, it'd be great to explore that. And so I started meeting with them to do Christianity Explored. And partway in, I remember Neil said one afternoon, I always thought Jesus was real, like an historical figure, but now I'm seeing that Jesus is real. He was personally engaging with Jesus. It's amazing. And so at the end of the course, they said, yes, we want to become Christians. We want to follow Jesus. So when we got to the day we were baptizing their daughter, I asked him, I said, Neil, why are you bringing your daughter to be baptized? And he said, because I want Jesus to shine in our lives. And if Jesus doesn't shine, then it's all a waste of time. Isn't that brilliant? When Jesus lights up someone's life like that and transforms their family. He did it for the Ethiopian eunuch. He did it for Neil and Megan. He's done it, I know, for many of you in your lives. And so when that's true for us, then that leads to the third delight, that God can use even me, even you. I don't know if you noticed how wonderfully impossible this meeting between the eunuch and Philip was. The eunuch had come all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. That's a journey of about 800 kilometers. So he's a long way from home, right? And they never would have met in the normal course of life. And Philip didn't plan this. It's not a mission strategy. Imagine him trying to pitch this to the church. Hey, I've got a new idea for mission. All right, so what are you thinking? Maybe like Alexandria or Antioch or maybe even going to Rome? And he says, no, I was thinking like the desert. Just feel called to a desert ministry. Oh, okay, so you're going to go to a water hole and just kind of hang out there. And when people come to water their camels, then you can engage with them. No, I thought I'd just kind of run along the desert road. Like, you don't do that, right? It's not a strategy. You don't come up with this. And that's the point. Philip isn't running this ministry. God is. And you look through God through an angel, and the Spirit gives him very specific instructions. It's go down to that road and then go up to the chariot. And verse 30, look at that. Philip ran up to the chariot. Why does he have to run up? I think it's because the chariot's moving. So he runs up and says, do you understand what you're reading? Like, without even stretching, he could pull a hamstring or whatever. Like, it's not something you do or plan, is it? It's ridiculous. But it's God who's controlling all this. And Philip isn't given any detail on who's in the chariot or what he's to do and say when he gets there, but what is the eunuch doing when he gets there? He's reading God's word. And he's got questions. This is brilliant. You never do or plan this because God is the one who saves and he can reach anyone at any time, anywhere. I don't know about you, I've heard stories of people in the Middle East who don't have access to a Bible or a church and Jesus converts them in a dream. Isn't that amazing? Like they went to sleep, not a Christian. They wake up, get down on their knees and pray and give their lives to Jesus. Wow. God can reach anyone, anytime, anywhere. Like a eunuch traveling in a chariot back to Ethiopia. You can imagine in Philip's heart as he's having this encounter, just thanking Jesus and praising him, that you would put me on this desert road and this guy would come along in a chariot and you would put me next to the chariot. And when I get up to the chariot, he's reading your word about a lamb who sacrificed for our sins, about you, Jesus. Wow, what a God. So I don't know if you realize it, but it is no accident that you're here tonight. It's no mere coincidence that you're here in this building. You're in this building tonight because God wants you to hear something. Perhaps for you, it's the first time you're really hearing about the good news of Jesus. How he came and died for you to bring you free forgiveness. And Jesus is calling you, inviting you tonight to follow him. And if that's you, I'd love to talk to you tonight. Perhaps for you, it's that the pain and mess of life kind of follows you around all week. And God wants to wash all that away and fill you with his awe and delight at his goodness and power for that to stick with you, that to hang on to you tonight. Or maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, this all sounds amazing, but it couldn't happen to me. Well, let me tell you about Peter and Michael. Peter was walking home from work one day, and on the other side of the footpath, he saw a guy sitting on his fence. And you know when people have that look in their face, like the weight of the world is on their shoulders? He just looked awful. And next to him on the fence was a six-pack of beer that he was gradually working his way through, drowning his sorrows. And so Peter was prompted to go up to this guy, his name was Michael, and just say, hey, are you okay? And so then he sat with him for an hour as Michael told him his story. but had grown up in the church. And as a teenager, he'd rebelled and run away from all that. And he lived his life however he wanted to live and did what he wanted to do. And then he made a mess of his life and he kind of hit rock bottom that day. And so Peter sat there and listened to Michael tell his story. And then after a while, he began to share with him some of the hope that we have in Jesus. Invite him to a course they're running at church to discover Jesus. I remember one of the pastors who was running the course telling me later that Michael was sitting there and hearing this. He said, "This is good news, but how do I know this is real and not made up?" And when he had understood the truth of the Bible and the truth of Jesus, it was like the scales fell from his eyes and his heart was flooded with the light of Jesus and he became a Christian. Amazing. And I remember Michael telling me that when he walked away from the church as a teenager, it broke his mum's heart. And she prayed for him for 30 years. He said at the time it really annoyed him, really irritated him that his mum was praying for him. He didn't want her to pray for him. But she died before he became a Christian, still praying for him. So Chaplain, can you imagine what it's going to be like when they're reunited in glory and the delight and joy she will feel when she discovers her son is a Christian? And they'll celebrate together. What a moment. And you can imagine her in that moment, can't you? Just filled with awe and delight saying, "I praise you, Jesus, that you put my son, my boy, Michael, on that fence that afternoon and you prompted Peter to go and talk to him. And now we're here together." What a God. But I reckon a bunch of us hear that story tonight and we say, that's a great story. It's an amazing story. Encouraging story, but God can never use me like that. He just wouldn't use me like that. Why? Why can't God use you like that? Because here's the thing about Peter. He's not an alpha male extroverted evangelist. He's something far better. He is a humble, servant-hearted man. He loves Jesus and he loves people. And you know what he does most days? He prays. "Jesus, will you put before me someone today who I can bless, who I can share your good news with?" Jesus doesn't do it every day, he doesn't do it every week, but he did it that day. And now Michael and his mum will be reunited. They will worship in God's eternal kingdom. That's a moment of awe and delight, isn't it? So friends, Chapel Lane, we have a moment together right now. We have a choice, a prayer, that this moment of awe and delight, this amazement we feel at God's power and his grace, how he can reach anyone at any time, that we can pray and ask that this won't just slip off us tonight as we head out of the building, but it will remain with us. It will follow us around this week and be in our hearts and in our prayers. And then we can make this our daily prayer. We get up each morning, we greet the new day, and we thank God for the blessing of a new day. We can pray this. "Jesus, you know there's a bit of mess in my life, and I certainly don't have everything together, but I know what you can do in the power of your Spirit. I know how you can reach people and change people. So will you put in my path someone today who I can bless, who I can share your good news with?" Is that something you long for? Be used by God like that? Is that something you want to pray? Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, we're just in awe of your grace and mercy, just how you reached and saved that Ethiopian eunuch, how you used Philip in amazing ways. We've heard of how you impacted Neil and Megan, and how you impacted and used Peter to reach Michael. And the joy that Michael and his mum will share together. We're just in awe of how you work. We don't want that awe, that delight, to slip away from us tonight. We want that to remain with us and stick with us and transform us. So will you write that upon our hearts? Let us not forget. Let not the mess of the world invade and shove its way back in. We ask that for each of us, that tomorrow, you would put in our path someone we can bless, someone we can share your good news with, that they would know the joy that we have in Jesus, and the praise and worship of Jesus will grow and abound more and more to your glory. We pray in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.